So the second scripture reading today is from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Listen now to the word of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, as we first heard in Isaiah that Kay read, Isaiah taught his audience to wait for the Lord. And the Apostle Paul often mentions waiting for the revelation of Jesus. But waiting is hard. I don't know anyone who looks forward to having to wait for things. Think of when you have had difficulty waiting in your life. A couple of difficult times of waiting for me in my life. One has been during the three pregnancies that I had. It gets especially hard towards the end. All the women who have had kids know that, when you're waiting for this baby to finally emerge. And my last one was 2 weeks late, so that was especially hard. And she came out the biggest. Another waiting time that's been especially hard for me that I've experienced in the last, 8 years has been waiting when my son has been deployed, waiting for his time of deployment in the Coast Guard to be over with. Every day during his deployment would feel like a week or even a month long because of just the concern for his safety during deployment. Whoever has been a waiter here, has anyone here been a waiter? A few of us have, yeah. Well, I was just thinking about how waiters have to be so good at waiting. And you may remember, it's a hard job. There's a lot of waiting in the job. There's waiting on the tables, is what they call it. You wait for the guests to decide what to order. Then you wait for the cook to prepare it. And then you wait longer for the people to eat it. And then you wait to see what kind of tip you're going to get for all the good work that you've done with all the waiting. So I especially am sensitive and empathic to waiters because I know what that job is like. There's so much waiting in it. But there can be suffering in waiting too. I was thinking about those who are waiting and wondering about a cancer diagnosis. I had that happen in seminary where they had found a lump and I waited, it felt like forever, to find out that it was okay. But for those who find out it's not okay, then they have to wait to decide what treatment it's going to be. We do a lot of waiting for healthcare these days, and that's a lot of suffering. A lot of time goes in that time of waiting. And there's also suffering in waiting for justice to be done as well, when you've been a victim of something. Or for instance, I think about these women and men now who have waited so long for justice to be done for the harassment that they had experienced maybe many years ago, but they didn't feel they had the power to complain to anyone about it, or they did complain and nothing happened when they were harassed. I have a friend who now is a Care Flight helicopter pilot, and she flies in and brings people into the hospitals here. And she actually ended up not retiring from the Coast Guard as she had planned because of the harassment she experienced in the military. And she said it's hard for her to say thank you for your service to other people in the military because there's a dark cloud hanging over her over the harassment that she experienced in the military. So I'm thankful that she found a good career as a Care Flight helicopter pilot. But it is something to realize that people have been suffering a lot in the waiting for justice to be done with the harassment that they experienced maybe in their workplaces or in the military or places like that. So it's important for us to be empathic to people who are going through a lot of waiting and a lot of suffering. Waiting in general is not easy. When we live in a culture of impatience and an expectation for instant gratification, waiting is becoming even harder for our society. And the internet inspires short attention spans and impatience. And our impatience levels, research is finding, are becoming shorter as well. Thus, people become easily irritated, and they say it is related to more road rage happening more often these days. So our behavior, while we patiently or impatiently wait for things, is especially important in the sight of God. So we have to check ourselves when we're finding that we're impatient and having trouble in our waiting time. That is why Paul was telling the church members in this first letter to the church in Corinth that they must be strong to the end. They must be patient in waiting to understand who Jesus was and how to apply the principles that Jesus taught them to their lives. He's encouraging them to be patient and wait and watch for Jesus to be revealed to them. Now, what exactly were they waiting for? The season of Advent is about patient expectation, about waiting and watching for the wonder of Jesus Christ. And this wonder of Jesus Christ can be symbolized as we wait for the empty manger to be filled with a baby. Yes, that is worth waiting for. It's good to remember every year that the birth of our Prince of Peace was a humble gift from God to our world. It's definitely worth celebrating every year and to go through this time of waiting in anticipation of that happening again. This season of Advent is about waiting and watching and wondering and also expecting to see Jesus among us right now. We have wandered through another year, dealing with ups and downs in life. And now we come around again to Advent and wait in expectation of the wonder of Jesus to be revealed in our midst. We are challenged to ponder, where does Jesus arrive, breaking through time and space to be present in our lives and in the lives of others now today? Where can we see and where can we be his hands and his feet to give a sense of wonder and hope to this chaotic world? As a nation, we are becoming more and more impatient and more divided than we've ever been in my lifetime anyway. But we are empowered, each one of us, to reverse that trend and reach out beyond the boundaries of politics and wealth and be Christ-like to one another. So this Advent and Christmas is definitely different than any we have experienced before here and around Sonoma County. We have so many friends and church family members who are still mourning deep, deep losses and life transitions caused by the fires that they never anticipated having to go through. So how will we cope? How will we help them cope? How do we get the energy to celebrate this season when we're still recovering from trauma? God will strengthen us to the end. That's the promise from our scripture today. God will strengthen us to the end. And we can trust in that, that Paul promises that we were given spiritual gifts that will help us cope. The gift of charity, the gift of compassion, the gift of optimism and resilience. These are spiritual gifts that come along with having faith in Jesus Christ. And as the body of Christ, we have been given the gift of one another. Nobody is left alone feeling these things by themselves if they're a part of this church family. We are in this recovery together, and we can be sensitive to the needs of one another in ways that we have never been before, that we never had to be before. I was in a long line at Trader Joe's last Friday. I don't know if any of you tried Trader Joe's last Friday. Big mistake for the timing that I had. And the waiting caused us, though, in the line, instead of people getting mad at each other, people started taking care of each other, which was amazing to see. One lady couldn't find the insulated bags that she wanted to get, so another lady went off and found it for her, complete strangers. The woman in front of me then started to share that she had somehow lost most of her bags that she would carry to the grocery store during the evacuations. And she was still feeling off balance, she said, from all the chaos around the fires. So we talked about what she had experienced. And she said that her priorities are very different this year for Christmas. She's planning to be much simpler and just thankful to be alive. She said she's prioritizing people over things more this Christmas. This lady in line at Trader Joe's was describing the kind of power and wonder in each other that God wants us to embrace and share. Reverend Dr. Bob Baggett describes this power when he says, "Behind the universe is a power that steadily guides and heals and leads us toward God's goals that will be reached inevitably, despite the setbacks and hardships that dot history. Jesus advises us that we stay awake, watching and waiting for these things, watching and waiting for how God is working and how God will next come to us." I think those are powerful words and something we have to remember. This month I've been reading Karen Armstrong's book called The Case for God. And she is a historical writer who starts with the beginning of human evolution and describes how religion was a part of life, even in the lives of our most ancient ancestors, all the way up to the scientifically influenced religion of today. And she writes, "From almost the very beginning, men and women have repeatedly engaged in strenuous and committed religious activity. They evolved mythologies, rituals, and ethical disciplines that brought them intimations of holiness that seemed in some indescribable way to enhance and fulfill their humanity. They were not religious simply because their doctrines were scientifically or historically sound, or just because they sought information about the origins of the cosmos, or wanted a better life in the hereafter. The point of religion was to live intensely and richly here and now. To live intensely and richly here and now." And then she goes on to say her research and her study of religious people over the years, she said her research showed that truly religious people are ambitious. They want lives overflowing with significance. Instead of being crushed or embittered by the sorrows of life, they retain their peace and serenity in the midst of their pain. They often have the courage to overcome and aspire to live generously and large-heartedly. Dr. Armstrong also describes those who are religious as people who desire to integrate their daily lives with moments of rapture and insight from their dreams or in their interactions with nature and with one another. So that's really a positive view of religious people, isn't it? You don't hear that positive of a view all the time. So that's very encouraging, and I think it really connects with why we're here today. And some examples of this type of insight or moments of rapture are often found in experiences from those who have been in outer space, if you have ever heard about this. Astronauts returning from space describe how they experienced a whole new perspective of the Earth and of its people. Many have described it as a spiritual experience that occurs to them when they're orbiting our planet. The late Edgar Mitchell said, "What a powerful experience to see Earth rise over the surface of the moon. And I suddenly realized that the molecules in my body and the molecules in the spacecraft and my partners had been prototyped, maybe even manufactured in some ancient generation of stars. But instead of being an intellectual experience, it was a personal feeling. And that was accompanied by a sense of joy and ecstasy, which caused me to say, 'What is this?' It was only after I came back that I did the research and found that the term in ancient Sanskrit was samadhi. Samadhi means wonder. So Advent is a time of samadhi. It's a time of wonder, of awe, a time to stop our wandering and appreciate the wonder of God, who is not distant, but right here and now, present with us, always nudging us to be more aware of samadhi, of the wonder, of the awesomeness of creation and of each other, and to be Christ-like to one another. The time to embrace the wonder of this Advent season and to think of ways to outdo one another in love is what I hope that we will embrace this season to be. I have a great example of someone who did this last week and how a resilient person in our congregation reached out in Christ-like love to others instead of focusing on her own losses. Karen Bowles brought in Christmas decorations that her daughter did not need anymore to share with others who came to our front office for food bags this year. And even though Karen lost her own home, she isn't dwelling on her own losses. Instead, she's focusing on these things that she still has, such as her daughter Katie, and ways that she can share Christmas joy with others, maybe in brand new ways that she never thought of before. That is an example of Jesus Christ being revealed to us. Another example was when the Presbyterian Church in San Bruno called me last week to announce that their deacons are not only going to make a one-time gift to our disaster relief fund, but they're going to make it an ongoing donation because they know that this recovery period is going to take a very long time. That is Jesus Christ being revealed to us. People in our town have said to me a number of times that the firestorm seems to have bonded us together in ways that we never felt before. The shared disaster experience reoriented many of us and inspired a more compassionate way of being. That is God's light shining in the midst of the darkness. That is the wonder and awe that God reveals to us when we are patient and wait with expectant, hopeful hearts for God's healing power to permeate the pain. That is Advent, the Advent of Christ coming into the world, promoting peace, healing hope, joy, and love. Amen.